Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, folks, and a hearty welcome to our drive-in theater. We have a wonderful evening's entertainment lined up for you, one that will provide several hours of pleasurable relaxation and diversion for you and your family. Did you fail to dress up for tonight's show? No tie, an old shirt and slacks, a house dress? Well, don't give it a thought. We're glad you came as you are. We just want you to enjoy yourselves. Don't forget to visit our refreshment center during the intermission or any time. You love the tasty array of snacks we have to offer. So will the youngsters. Everything is quality and so good. We hope you'll make this a weekly visit. Bring the family. Bring your friends.
Bring your own beer.
Bring your own beer. MGM had a lion. We got a goat. Good evening and welcome to Erie House Radio Drive-In. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, one of your ushers, here along with...
Usher with a flashlight. Don't do that back in the upper deck there. Dave Binkley from Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And, of course, we have Goat here with us.
Go ahead. Let them do what they want in their own cars. Just don't name it after us. Oh, gosh. Yeah, we're wrapping up Day of the Triffid, so we might do a full 2 hours tonight.
We still have a full three half-hour shows to go to finish off our Triffid story. And if you do have to cut out a little bit early to head to GAR, we will be in the archive for you to finish up what you missed.
That's right.
Stay with us, if you can.
So we've got, what, six parts of parts 4 through 6 or parts 6 through 12? Figure it out. They said there wouldn't be any math. Hi, Fogsbane. Good old Bob. Welcome. As he tops his car off with 100% Triffid oil. Makes your pistons last longer.
Well, it could do that, or it could wear them down a little bit more, depending on whether you get the low grade or the high grade.
Yeah. That's true. Looking for something that's not in the library. Oh, well. Maybe a ghost took it.
Go to sleep.
I tell you, sure, a ghost.
Oh, ghost, spooks, skeletons. Kid stuff. There are no such things as ghosts.
No, but there are Triffids. It was kind of racy that...
they're real.
It got a little racy there at the end of last night's show. So, like, he's going to get married and then...
Yeah, but
wow.
If you get married to a sighted woman, you must take two non-sighted women and do them as well.
Yeah. Good work if you can get it, is the old saying.
I think a guy was in charge of that religion. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this is how we're setting up, well, a government or something. I don't know what they have going on. It is it's a post-apocalyptic world. Dominated by Triffids. So I watched the beginning of the movie and I still can't make it out. It seems like the Triffids were already there because...
Oh, was it? Okay.
Because during the meteor shower, a night watchman was going through like a hot house and there was a little baby Triffid getting very excited.
Okay.
And he killed the guy.
Of course.
Bad Triffid, bad.
Well, you know, it's not so good because, you know, they do the hokey pokey and turn themselves about, and then, you know, they get you wrapped in, and then they kill you, you know?
Yeah. Triffids are just very indiscriminate in that way.
They are.
But there you go. That's what happens. Science runs amok. From this early 1951 novel written by John Wyndham. And this story tonight, the conclusion of, is loosely based on it. Now I want to read the... Now I want to read the original story.
Yeah, and this is longer. This production is actually longer than the movie, so this may be a little closer to the book than what the movie was.
Yep, and
it's like
for
when
those
they did
of
the
you,
movie, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and they did a BBC radio production, and that thing just absolutely throws me on the floor. It's so hilarious.
As long as they got "So long and thanks for all the fish" in there, I'm happy. it was great in the beginning of that film, but let's move along and get that reel number 7 spooled up in the drive-in theater. Everyone, hope you got your snacks, because we're fresh out. Here's part 7 of Day of the Triffids. Yeah, sorry. Out of refreshments here at Erie House. But let's move along so we can wrap up Day of the Triffids.
Cool.
Part 7.
From London, we present The Day of the Triffids, John Wyndham's famous science fiction story, dramatized by Giles Cooper.
Is anyone there?
Who's that?
It sounds like the kid they call Lucy. What do you want, darling?
The man who can see.
I'm here.
Can you come up, please? There's something wrong.
What is it?
Well, some of the people are ill. They're hot and they've got dreadful pains. I think they've got something bad.
The Day of the Triffids, Episode 4, Dead End.
By next morning, the two men who'd been taken sick in the night were dead. Three more of the group were ill. I made them as comfortable as I could, and we set out to find food. I led the party, still chained to Mac and Alf, who were blind, and the rest followed us, their hands on each other's shoulders.
Right, left. Pick them up, come on. Where are we, Gus?
In a side street running downhill. There should be shops at the bottom.
Well, one of them a bit like lost souls.
What do you expect? If you let me loose, I could drive round till I found a good place. Pick you all up in a truck, bring you along to do the loading. This way's bound to be slow.
He's got something there, you know.
I need to get away.
Well, I wouldn't blame him if he did.
Look, suppose I give you my word.
There's no man's word worth topping. We're in the jungle now.
Come on, pick up the step. Look on. Left, right.
We're coming to a corner. Left. Get ready to turn left.
Right, when you say.
Stop!
Come on, give us a bit of warning.
There's a group loading a truck about 100 yards away.
Yeah, you said they're here.
No, they aren't our lot. Man in charge is carrying a rifle. He's seen us.
Down, everyone! Down on the ground! Get down, Mac!
What happened?
Mac's been hit. He's had it.
The rest of you turn back and go up the hill.
What's happening?
He's coming towards us.
Well, come on, let's run for it.
Don't wait a minute. I've got to get rid of Mac.
Well,
there. Now, this way. Come on. In here.
Where are we?
It's the garden.
Oh.
Now, keep down.
He's who?
No, he won't. He only wants me. Where's the key to these handcuffs?
In his pocket.
Let's have it.
No, come on.
Now, Jack, let's go.
All right.
Here you are. Oh, good. Now, keep quiet.
So what's happening?
He took a look at Mac lying in the middle of the road. Probably thinks Mac was the one I could see. Now he's following the others up the hill. Come on.
What?
Take my arm, we'll follow him.
Well, he's here.
If he thinks we're blind, he won't take any notice.
Come on. Oh, all right, you're the boss. But keep telling me what's up, eh? I am blind, remember?
All right. Up. Look, watch it.
Yeah. Steady.
Right, we're in the street. He's about 50 yards ahead of us. The others are 50 yards in front of him, on both sides of the road, creeping along. He's not overtaking them. Wants to see where they're going.
Suppose he can pinch out the plough, I suppose.
Yeah, something like that. Oh, hello. Oh,
what is it?
One of our chaps is ill.
Who?
Well, he's staggering, holding his stomach. He's fallen. Come on, keep going.
Right.
The chap with the rifle stopped. He's looking at him.
He's shooting at us again.
No, it's not at us. He shot the sick man. Now he's coming back.
Yeah.
Just keep going. He's gone past. Oh. Come on, we've got to get back to the hotel before the others get split up.
You mean to tell me you're not going to leave us?
Oh, come on.
Follow him on. That's right. Now the next one. That should be it. Oh, is that the lot then?
Yep, that's it. Tailboard up.
Right. There. I'm getting quite handy at this. Nothing like practice, is there?
Come on.
No, let me see if I can get back to the cab on my own, eh? The rear wheel. Petrol tank. Step. That's it. I'm there. How many have we got with us today?
15.
And 12 women left behind, that's 27. Plus 4, 6 makes 31.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we was 53 four days ago.
It seems longer than that.
Bill?
Hmm?
Think it is they're all getting then?
I don't know. It's come on too quickly for typhoid. Could be plague. I don't know.
Looks like solving most of our problems anyway.
You're a real optimist, Alf.
I've got to keep cheerful, and I. What are we going to try for today?
Tin milk, biscuits, candles and paraffin.
Paraffin? We got 40 gallons of that yesterday.
We need more, much more.
Why?
No time to dig.
Oh, that, yeah. Not that it makes much difference what you do. It's more of a taste than a smell, isn't it?
Yeah.
Come on, start her up. I'm getting morbid. Where are we going, anyway?
Up towards the heath. I haven't tried that yet.
There's not much improvement up here, is there?
No.
They're even more dead. More than in most places.
Oh?
Come on down.
Right. Where are we?
Oh, well, right.
Okay.
Mind the curb.
Yeah.
That's it.
Is the shop okay?
Well, it seems to be. Hang on there in the back and I'll open up.
Right.
Someone's been in here before, but they haven't taken much.
Yeah.
Silly.
Phew, the ham's gone off. Anyway.
You're by the cold meat counter.
Oh.
Stay there, I'll see what's in the back.
All right. Bill? Bill?
Yeah?
Bill?
Trippies attacking the truck.
Trippies? Oh.
Run, poor boy, run for it. Come on, quick. Towards my boy.
Over here.
Into the door.
This way.
Find the window.
Gurney, Bradshaw, Williams,
yep.
Foster, Barlow,
yep.
Travers, Kendicott, Dean, Forbes, Smith,
yeah.
That's the lot.
You didn't call my name.
Sorry, Lucy. Are there any more women upstairs?
Not now.
Huh. Down to 7 of us, innit?
It's my fault.
Well, how'd you make that out?
I should have known there'd be triffids on the heath.
I ought to have taken a gun up with me.
You can't think of everything, mate. Anyway, the Triffids only got 8 of us. You know what's taken the others.
Yes, I know. Does anyone want anything? Otherwise, I'll go to bed.
No, we're okay.
That's funny. The clocks still go on.
Oh. Well, the ones that's worked by clockwork will, wouldn't they? Till they all run down, of course.
Hello? Anyone there?
Hello, Bill. You woke up then.
What was that just struck?
I don't know. Must be about 8 o'clock.
Where is everyone?
I cleared off.
What?
Well, that little girl took ill in the night, you know, Lucy, and the others panicked a bit. They said the place was unhealthy and pushed off to find somewhere else.
How is she now?
She died about 2 o'clock.
Why didn't you wake me up?
We tried to, but you was out for the count, weren't you? There wasn't anything you could have done, anyway.
All the same, I hate to think of her being alone.
Well, I was there.
Why were you?
Because I hadn't gone.
I know, but why not? I mean, it's unhealthy here.
Well, I think everywhere's unhealthy, didn't you? Anyway, didn't seem right to push off without saying. So, what do we do now?
We'll have some breakfast and then make for Westminster.
And there we're going to try and find your girlfriend, right?
Dead right.
You do not have a funny way of putting things sometimes. Where are we now?
Vauxhall Bridge Road, outside a cinema.
They used to have buses here.
Used to have people, too.
All empty, is it?
Oh, I wonder what she'd have done. Same as that, I dare say. Found a hotel to use as a base.
Well, I remember there's a big one by the station, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Let's try that first.
Are there all buses still in front of the station?
Yeah. I'm just passing the entrance.
The train standing at platform 9 is the 0900 for Paris and the
Corps. Here's the hotel. There's a woman outside.
Oh, is it your girlfriend?
No, it's an old woman.
Oh.
I'll go and talk to her. You stay here.
All right.
Keep away. These tins are my tins.
Yeah, I shouldn't bother with that one, love. It's coffee. Here, have some baked beans. Wait a minute, I'll open that for you.
Give me the tin, give it.
Were you with a party?
Give me the tin.
Yeah, tell me first. Were you with a party?
Yes.
Led by a girl?
Give me the tin.
A moment. Was there a girl who could see?
Yes.
Well, what happened to her?
They all got ill and died, and then she went away.
Yeah?
She wanted to take me, but I wouldn't go. What's the point?
But when did this happen?
Yesterday. Give me the tin.
Is that all you know?
Here's the tin.
Here you are. I've opened it. What's the matter?
Beth, go away, go away. Oh, and I was hungry. Now, I don't want anything. That girl was a good girl. She stayed with us. Now, go, go.
Somebody just please feed the cat. Just please feed the cat. I can't stand it.
We're not going to have any starving kitties in this show.
That's right.
No fake radio cats. No fake radio cats were harmed in the making of this program.
That's right. Nor would we ever allow that. Dave and I are cat guys.
Yep.
Someday you'll see us.
We're dog guys too, but we're cat guys too.
Yep. Someday you'll see us pushing a shopping cart full of cats down the street.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So, this is taking an adventurous turn. It's getting to be a rough world with lots of violence and hardships, with everybody being blind and stuff.
Yeah. It's you'd think there'd be more people looking at that shower. You know?
Yep. Yep, I'm waiting to see if they're going to have the lighthouse scene that was in the movie. Don't know. We'll find out.
If we can know, because even if we did know, we wouldn't tell you.
That's right. No spoilers here. Let's just run right in, Dave. It's on to part 8 or
Let's
part 2 of tonight
part
or part 2 of part 1.
Wait. It's part yep, summer 8. You're right. Yes, 8.
Part 2
eight.
Of part 4.
Yes. Or part 8 of part 12. Yeah.
All right, 8 of 12.
You said well, no of... math.
Yeah. Sorry. We'll be back, I promise. Sorry about your luck.
Bring the goat. This is where we came in, the university.
Anyone about?
Not by the look of it. There's only one truck left.
Well, may be the ones we didn't catch pushed off.
Looks like it. Just a moment, there's something written on the main door. I can't see it from here.
Hey, watch out for the Triffid.
Yeah, I'll take the Triffid gun. No, I won't, though. Take the revolver. There's someone coming.
What?
Stay there.
Well, don't go too far.
Stand still. Put your hands up.
Oh, it's Mr. Coker.
Yes, it's me. Don't worry, I'm not armed.
And what are you after? Another little party?
No, I've had enough. They all died.
So did mine.
Still, we tried.
Yeah, the wrong way.
Yes. But it seemed right, to me, at any rate. I didn't realize then that the whole world must be like this. Oh, think of New York.
Well, what are you going to do now?
Oh, go after the others and eat humble pie, I suppose. Have you seen the address they left behind?
No, I was on my way to look at it.
It's Tynesham Manor, Tynesham, near Devizes.
Devizes? We won't get there tonight.
No, I was going to bed down here and move in the morning.
Okay, if you take that truck, I'll take the car.
Well, couldn't we take the truck alone?
No, I've got a passenger.
Alf? Alf? Here's your old friend, Coker.
Alf? He's gone to sleep.
Wake up, Alf.
I'm not asleep.
What is it?
Keep away from me, though. Where's Bill?
Here.
I've gone and got it now.
Oh, come on, Alf.
Don't try and move me. Just keep clear, eh? I'll be dead by the morning, won't I? Oh, it's a good thing, too. After all that trouble to stay alive, eh? Can I have a drink of water?
I'll get it, yeah. Oh.
Bill?
Yeah?
Thanks, mate, for all you've done. I hope you find your girlfriend all right.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, we'll take one truck. We'll start at dawn.
Just about there.
We made good time, considering.
Yeah.
It should be on the other side of this wall.
Oh, it's a stately home by the look of it.
I'll turn in here. Hey, wait a minute.
What's this, a hold-up?
See where you are.
Is this Tynesham Manor?
Where do you come from and how many of you are there?
Just the two of us. We've come from London.
What's in the truck?
Supplies.
All right, go on. You'd better report to Miss Durrant. She's in the dining hall.
Where's Michael Beadley?
I don't know. Miss Durrant's in charge. Report to her.
Right.
Miss Durrant?
Who's she?
Think I remember her.
Huh? She's a bit grim. Something's wrong if she's running things.
Yes?
I'm Bill Mason. We've just come from London. Can we have a word with you?
One moment. Make the helpings larger. We don't want any left over. Now, what is it?
Mr. Coker and I, we've just
Mr.
arrived.
Mr. Coker?
Yes.
Aren't you the man who led the raid on the university building?
Yes, I was.
Then I'd better tell you once and for all that we have no use for brutal methods in this community and no intention of tolerating them.
Where's Michael Beadley and all the others?
They decided to move on.
Oh, why?
Because we made it perfectly clear that some of us, at any rate, wish to preserve our moral standards.
Yes, but why should they move and not you? Surely you were the splinter group, they were the main body.
From a practical point of view, it was more suitable for them to move.
So why?
Oh, I really haven't got time to answer all these questions. If you wish to stay and help us, you can. If not, please go as soon as possible.
Well, who are all these people here? They didn't come from London, did they?
They're locals.
Are they all blind?
Yes.
How many can see?
There are seven of us.
What about Miss Playton?
Who?
Josella Playton. Is she here?
No, I don't think so. Well, there's Peggy down at the gate, three on duty here, two others on patrol, and that's all the ones who can see. But nobody called Gisella.
Are they all girls here?
All the sighted ones, yes.
You mean all the men went with Beadley?
Naturally. With the lorries to be driven and the loading to be done, it was obviously right that they should be the ones to go.
Which is why you won't last 3 months.
I beg your pardon.
If that, you haven't got a clue. You're running this place on good intentions and hoping for the best. How are you going to feed all these people for a start?
We shall send parties into devices to collect supplies.
And the plague. You've got to keep away from the town.
There are plenty of village stores in the neighborhood.
Enough to last you for a year?
Perhaps.
And the year after that? And the next year? What will you do then? How will you live in 10 years' time, even if the Triffids don't get you first?
We shall trust to Providence.
You do it, Dan. It's better to start building some sort of flour mill now. The wheat will be ready for harvesting in a few weeks.
Well, I really...
Look, for heaven's sake, can't you see that you've got to change your whole way of thinking or go under?
I can assure you that we propose to think as we have always thought.
Faithful.
If you disagree with our ideas, you're welcome to go and join Mr. Beadley and his friends.
Yes, but where are they?
Do you wish to go too?
I wish to find Miss Clayton.
Well, I don't remember seeing her with that
Look,
party.
Look, for God's sake, where did they go?
I really couldn't say.
Oh, surely they left an address.
Well, if they did, I don't remember it.
Now, look, Miss Clayton,
I have an idea that it was in Dorset they were
Dorset,
heading for, somewhere in the Bemminster direction. Now, if you will excuse me, there is a great deal to be done.
Thank you very much.
Check the place, please. There's out of the chambers
to get into
washing room.
Well, how far is Bemminster? Where are we?
Steeple, honey.
Where's that? In Somerset.
We've come 50 miles now without seeing a living creature except a few sheep.
And a hell of a lot of Triffids.
Yeah. Well, there are more and more of them.
You notice too?
Why is it?
I've been wondering. I don't know.
Hi!
Hello.
Hi there!
Someone's here. Where is he? Can you see?
Yeah, look, over there in the pub, the upstairs window. Can you get down?
Coming now!
If he's alive, why aren't the others?
I know. Let's see if he can give us a drink.
Are you there?
Look out! Stay back inside! No, Coker, don't go near him. Leave him alone. Back to the truck.
Do you think he's dead?
Yes, he walked right into it. Well, here come two more. Let's get out of here.
Good idea.
Almost as though it was waiting for him.
Yeah, almost.
But it couldn't have been, could it? I mean, they've got no intelligence. They're plants.
A friend of mine knew a lot about them, wasn't so sure.
He thought they talked to each other.
Huh.
But do you think so?
I don't know. He also said that sight was the only advantage mankind had over Triffids.
Yeah, but what would be the idea of killing people? They can't eat flesh.
If they wait long enough, they can drink it. Just like any other plant. Bemminster welcomes careful drivers.
Well, let's hope somebody else does, too.
Hell, what was that? That character over there.
There where you are. Don't move.
What's the idea?
How many of you are there?
Only us two. We're harmless.
All right, you can get down.
Come on.
Come on, you others. All right.
Who are you, and where do you come from?
I'm Bill Mason. This is Jack Coker. We're from London.
Uh-huh. Well, my name's Stephen Bennell. I'm supposed to be a stockbroker. This is Vera Paul, girlfriend of mine.
Uh-huh.
And Sid Farah.
Hello.
How come you can see?
Well, we were in a car smash and taken to the cottage hospital. When we came round next morning, we could see, but everyone else was blind.
You were lucky.
Yes. What brings you to these parts?
We're looking for a group led by a man called Michael Beadley. Have you seen them?
Afraid not. Not a sign.
And we've been all round 15 or 20 miles.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Looks like we've had it.
That bitch, Miss Durrant.
Yeah, sent us on a wild goose chase.
Look, why don't you come back to the manor with us? Then we can all put each other into our respective pictures.
Oh, that's a good idea. Thanks very much.
Then you see, I've sighted a machine gun so that it fires from this window, covering the drive, and a mortar to deal with anybody beyond the shrubbery, where we can't see them. And that takes care of this side of the house.
What's it all for?
Well, there's bound to be trouble sooner or later when stocks run low in the cities.
We've been expecting gangs out every day.
You haven't seen the cities. They're emptier than the countryside.
Do you mean nobody in them?
Yes, darling, that's what he means. What the hell do we do about it?
Can't we just stay here and wait?
No, we can't.
But all the same, if we don't stay here, where can we go?
My suggestion is Tynesham, where we've just come from.
God, why go back there?
Oh, I know, Bill. You've got that girl you're looking for. But for the rest of us, there's no point in staying here until our supplies run out.
Well, it'll be a long time before they do.
Yeah, but by then, we must be self-supporting.
There's some good farmland round these parts.
But there aren't enough of us to farm it.
Oh, we might make a go.
Look, it's not enough just to make a go. You've got to realize that this will last forever. That you've got to make entirely new lives.
I don't
Look,
quite
one
know
of
it.
The things that man must have if he is to progress is leisure. Time to learn, to study, to think, to experiment. Now, look, there are six of us here. We may get one or two more in, but that won't give us enough. It means that every single person will have to work all day just to keep himself alive.
Well, there's bags of machinery lying around.
But in a few years' time, there won't be any petrol or oil, and we'll have to find horses and breed from them and learn how to shoe them. And then later, we'll have to learn how to smelt iron and make the horseshoes. When the candles give out, we will have to live in the dark unless we've discovered how to make fresh ones out of tallow.
Oh, candles are made of wax. I do know that.
And wax is made of paraffin. Now, look, we've got a chance to live on capital for a few years, and if we don't take the opportunity it gives us to learn, we shall become peasants. Our children will be savages, and theirs will be back in the Stone Age.
Hmm. But how would it help us to go to Tynesham?
Well, there are more than 60 people there. Most of them are blind, but they can be trained to help. We'll be a society growing and developing itself instead of having nothing to look forward to. Do you agree?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, me too.
Miss Durrant will be delighted.
If she doesn't like it, she can go and start off with a triffid.
Have you had much trouble with triffids here?
We certainly have.
Yes, when we were collecting weapons supply at Bovington, we picked up a couple of flamethrowers. One tickle with them, and they keep well away.
Yeah. Just as well. You can shoot at them all day, and they don't mind. Not any more than a tree would.
Well, that's what they are.
Well, I know, but you sort of forget it when you see them sitting around waiting to take a smack at you.
There's half a dozen in every farmyard around here. They park themselves on the manure heaps.
Yes, I look forward to putting in a bit of flamethrower practice.
You really hate them, don't you?
Yes, I do. Funny, isn't it? They used to be my livelihood. Now I'd like to wipe out a lot of them.
Well, there's one thing about Tynesham. It's more open up there. You can see for miles across the downs, and they can't creep up on you.
Well, what's the matter, Bill?
South Downs. It's just something to tell us there.
Your girlfriend?
Yeah. When we were in London, talking about places to go, she said something about some friends of hers who lived on the Sussex Downs, near Pulborough. I bet that's where she is.
Unless...
Yes?
Oh, nothing.
Yeah. Unless she's caught the plague. Unless she's dead.
Cheerful.
What a way to end an episode. Very funny.
Oh, she's dead. Yeah. You know,
that was the fourth episode of Giles Cooper's dramatization of The Day of the Triffids by John Wyndham. Listen to the next episode of John Powell's production of The Day of the Triffids, World Narrowing.
I guess a day of Triffids is better than, like, just, you know... Having a whole month of if you had a whole month of Triffids, that would be bad. Too many Triffids.
Yep, yep.
Triffid overload.
Yeah, there's a lot of overload going on there. It just can't imagine having to start from scratch. We've had a couple other shows like that as well, like trying to think of this. John Daner was a two-parter, one-hour show of Escape. But yeah, basically, there was something, some kind of disease that hit most of the world, and just about wiped out just about everybody, but not quite. And starting to reorganize and setting up your own governing and the dangers of going to different areas and stuff. So yeah.
And the fun of repopulating.
That's right.
That's right.
You're a blonde woman for every woman on sale. Yeah, yes, yes.
Yep.
Sounds like, like a home shopping network deal, doesn't it?
I guess so. It could be arranged as such, I'm sure. Unbelievable, folks. Here you have radio. Been here 7 years and going to Hades. Hope you're getting ready for the Halloween season coming up. We're scheming and plotting. Probably another drive-in for a Halloween week. Yep. Probably another drive-in. And yep. We've gotten through all four parts or all eight parts of the first two-thirds of our epic story tonight from Day of the Triffids, EDC Radio. Might as well run right into...
Yep. It's nice to know that even today, BBC still does some of these wonderful productions. And it just... we just... The only ones who do it over here are people who do it because they love it. You know, not because anybody's getting paid to do it or anything, but because they love it. It's a
kind of like us.
Yeah. Yeah. True. True.
Kind of like us. But well worth it. We just appreciate seeing the regulars in here. Fogs Bane, good old Bob. Doc, Northwest Media, thanks for joining us for Day of the Triffids. This was originally broadcast, did you say, Dave, back in 65, was it, or later?
1968. As we head into episode 5, it will have been actually from June 24th. Of 1968.
Ah. Yep. And here we go. Well, let's get part 5 or part 9 going, depending on how you're looking at this.
New math.
It's the new math.
Yep.
With Day of the Triffids. Part 9. Number 9.
From London, we present The Day of the Triffids, John Wyndham's famous science fiction story, dramatized by Giles Cooper. The Day of the Triffids, Episode 5, World Narrowing.
The day after the others decided to go to Tynecombe, I set out for Suffolk to look for Josella. That morning the weather broke and it was pouring with rain when I said goodbye to Cochrane and climbed into the lorry. The towns were drenched and deserted. The only life I saw, besides the occasional Triffid, were two blind ponies in the New Forest. After Rumsey, the sun came out, but it did nothing to cheer me up. The utter loneliness was beginning to get on my nerves. I even thought of turning round and going back to the others. But as I passed through a village north of Southampton, a little girl suddenly bounded out of one of the garden gates and came running up the road towards me, waving her arms.
Hello.
Who are you?
I'm Susan. Will you come and help me, please?
Of course.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you alone?
Well, there's Tommy, but something's happened to him.
Yes?
One of those things hit him. He's lying in the garden. Look. And the thing's still there.
Yes. Put your fingers in your ear.
Yes.
I'm going to shoot the top of it.
Is it dead now?
Yes.
Horrible thing.
What, Tommy, your little brother?
Yes. He's only 6. He went out to play.
I'm afraid he's dead.
Poor Tommy.
Your mother and father anywhere?
They've gone. There was one morning, and they couldn't see. And Dad went out for help. Then Mummy went to find him,
mm-hmm.
and didn't come back.
Oh, no, Susan, it's all right. Come on, love, you've been so brave.
I've been lonely. I thought nobody was coming.
I know. I've been frightened too and lonely. Now I'm not. Neither are you, eh? I'm going to look after you. You can come with me. Would you like that?
Oh, yes, please.
Good. Better?
Yes. Can we bury Tommy first, like the puppies?
Yes, of course.
I'll go and pick some flowers. Where are we going?
Well, we're going to find a farm near Pulborough.
What?
For? I'm looking for a lady.
What sort of lady? Is she pretty?
Oh, yes.
Good. Here are the flowers.
Good.
Oh, dear.
Look, you don't want to worry too much about these things.
I wasn't. I said, oh, dear, because it's going to rain again.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we better hurry up then.
Yeah. Come on.
This is Pulborough.
Where are the Downs?
Over there.
Miles away.
Yes, I'd forgotten they were so far.
What should we do?
Well, the farmhouse she talked about was on the north side of the Downs, so we should see it from here. Maybe smoke or something.
It's hard to see anything much in this rain.
I know, and it's getting dark.
Then we won't see anything at all.
A light, that's what we need.
Mm.
Come on.
Yes.
I'll put your mask on.
Mm-hmm.
And see if we can bring up a really good spotlight.
Yeah.
That's it. Keep watching on the left, and I'll swivel it over to the right.
Yes.
How's that, Susan?
It's like a flashlight.
Yeah. Now off. See if we get an answer. Just one single gleam of light. That'll tell me all I want to know. Now, again. The left. Cross to the right. Back again. And right.
There!
What?
Switch it off! Switch it off! I saw something!
Where?
Right over on the left. There it is again. Look.
That's right. You're right. Come on, back inside the cell.
Yes.
Up you go. Good girl.
Is it her?
Got to be. I can't see a thing.
There, thank you.
Yes.
And the light's right ahead. There's someone standing by. Is it her?
Yes, it is. Estella.
Oh, hello, Bill. You've been a long time.
Oh, you're so tired.
Oh,
I never gave up hope.
You are getting wet, you silly. Why don't you kiss her indoors?
The farm at Pulborough belonged to a young couple, Dennis and Mary Brent, who were old friends of Gisella's. Mary's sister, Joyce, had been staying with them when it happened. All three were blind, and Gisella their only lifeline. That night we sat together in the farm kitchen over supper, and Gisella told me her story. Her group had all died too. She'd looked for me in Hampstead, and then at the university.
I didn't stay long when I saw that man Coker prowling about.
Well, Coker's
I came
all right.
Straight down here.
He wouldn't have harmed you.
I didn't know that then.
Well, thank goodness you didn't. If you hadn't come quickly, it would have been the end of us.
Yes, we were all blind. Mary was having her baby, and the house was surrounded by triffids.
How is the baby?
Fine.
Boy or girl?
A girl.
And it isn't blind.
Here we've got four pairs of eyes. Two grown-ups, one baby and me.
And three blind encumbrances.
Oh, Dennis.
No, Dennis. You're not encumbrances. You can't afford to be.
All right, but what happens next?
Exactly.
Well, next, I shall go to bed.
Tomorrow we'll sort out what needs doing.
Still raining.
We needed it.
What for?
The vegetables.
Ah, this is a comfortable bed.
Now, Dennis and Mary were quite well off. They aren't now.
Better off than some.
Oh, yes. Is it terrible everywhere?
Everywhere, except here.
Oh, Bill. Thank God you found me.
I was terrified you wouldn't be here.
And I was afraid you had caught the plague and died. But you didn't. You haven't.
It's funny to think we're just at the beginning of our troubles.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's a charming thing for a girl to be told on her wedding night.
Darling, where are you going?
It's past milking time.
Huh? You've been doing all the milking?
So far. I'm trying to teach Joyce, but it's tricky. Hello?
It's only me. Isn't it a lovely day? Can I go out?
Yeah, I suppose
so. No, no, wait. Let's see how many triffids there are sitting around. They tend to move nearer during the night. Yes. Look, there's one by the gate.
Two by the cowshed. Beastly things.
How'd you like to do something about them, Susan?
I'd love to.
Now, darling, she's too young to handle a shotgun.
Well, she needn't. We've got all that anti-triffid gear.
Mm-hmm.
Masks, gauntlets and guns. Mm-hmm. Come on, Susan. The triffid season has opened.
How's that, Joe? Fine, except one's right on the edge. Oops. Not anymore.
Hell, I can't even do that properly.
Oh, now, Joe.
One step up and you're in the house. All right, you can let go now. I know my way around in here.
Hello, darling. How's it going, Bill?
All right, I suppose.
I sliced off 40 triffids today.
Dead eye, Susie.
There won't be many left soon.
They'll last for a bit, Mary. Tea ready?
Nearly. But we'll have to hurry. There's the cows to get in, milk, hens to round up, baby to bath.
I can do that.
Not yet, Susan. Then there's the butter to make.
But that's something I can do.
The water to draw and ten other things.
The tractor's bust.
Oh. Are you serious?
Well, it doesn't go.
Well, they got two across at Wright's farm, but it may mean getting diesel instead of petrol.
Yeah.
Pass the bread, Robinson.
Yes.
Is this the new batch?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you could use more soda.
Yes, jolly good.
Jolly sight. Nice of them. What we used to have in the old days.
The old days? You mean 2 months ago, Susan?
Oh, it seemed like the old days. Do you know, with the 40 triffids I bagged today, that makes my total 217.
Nothing? And still they come. I don't know. What's the matter, Bill?
Just thinking.
I'll come with you tomorrow if you want tractor fuel.
No, no, I'm going on another trip tomorrow.
Oh?
I'm going over to Tynecombe.
Why?
to fetch back two trucks and their drivers.
What for?
To get us all out of here.
You mean you want us all to go over there?
That's right.
Oh, but I don't want to go away. I like it here.
So do I. Besides, we've been making a pretty good go of it here.
We haven't, Joyce.
We have.
Look, we've been working our guts out to keep the base clear of triffids and producing about a 1/16 of what we eat. We're storing nothing. We've stocked no firewood for winter. We're getting nowhere. Look at Tynesham. It's a large community. We should do better. Besides, there's another reason. Joe.
It's a bit early to announce it. But I'm going to have a baby.
Oh, Joe. Joyce, how can you tell when it's turned to butter without being able to see?
I can feel it change.
You're all getting awfully good, it seems.
We learn. The sun's set, hasn't it?
Really? When will Uncle Bill be back?
Susan, for the 15th time, we don't know.
I only wonder.
And do try not to ask to sell it. Worries her.
It's all right, Joyce. I'm here. I was bringing in the eggs.
Sorry, there's some things I'm not good at yet.
Well, of course, he may decide to stay the night.
I dare say he will.
After all, it is a long way. He won't want to travel in the dark.
Hey, listen.
What is it?
It's a car.
It's him! Oh. Look! Hooray!
I don't see the lorry. Go and open the gate, please.
Right there.
Bill, darling. That's good you made it before dark.
Yeah. Hello, Dennis.
Hi, Bill. Good trip?
Well, I got along pretty fast.
What's wrong?
We're back again to Tynesham after all.
Hmm?
It's finished.
Finished?
They caught the plague by the look of it.
Oh, no.
I must have got away because they took the trucks. Anyhow, there was nothing alive in sight except a few triffids.
And what do we do?
We stay here. We learn to support ourselves and go on supporting ourselves. For the rest of time, if necessary.
Well,
for the rest of time.
Isn't that what everybody does all the time?
Yeah. The rest of time.
Figure out how to live, yeah. We hope not. Dave and I are approaching those magical years.
Yeah.
I don't mean our 20s.
Yeah, getting closer and closer to that spot where we can hit that snooze button every time it comes on.
That's right. Not that you're likely to do that. I just don't picture you snoozing much, Dave. You're going to...
You know, I got to tell you, I think I
know you too well.
I bought a smartwatch, and I'm always... I didn't hook it up to my phone directly, but up to the app I did. And I always curious because I always, you know, I'm always one to say that I never sleep. I get a total of usually about 4.5 hours of sleep a night. Of that, less than 2 hours of that is deep sleep.
Yeesh.
So I am not exaggerating that I never sleep. I only nap.
That can drive you mad.
No, it's been my life for quite some time now, so it's it is what it is. And
to my point.
But just once, I like to hit that snooze button. Oh my!
Yeah, I think you're one of those guys. Once the wheels start turning, that's it. There's no going back to sleep.
It is. It's hard to stop. I've been upgrading my shows since I picked up this AI program, and I don't think I've had it for 2 full months yet, and yet I'm almost at number 70 of our 108 shows that we've done. So
wow.
So I'm really excited about how they're coming out. I'm really, really excited and can't wait.
Really pleased with the results, huh?
I am really pleased with them. Nice. So, but and I like what we're doing tonight. We're really kind of pushing it because we were trying not to bleed into guard spot. We have things we can fill in with. You know, but be able to get through so that good old Bob and I know Fogsbane, who always jumps over to Gar's horror starring Gardegul.
Why the pause?
Starts at 8 o'clock, and so we try to do what we can to help get you through.
Yep. And with that being said, let's run on over to part 37 of 89.
Hike.
No, it's part 10, right?
Part 10. Yes.
Part 10.
Is that where we're at?
12.
Okay. 10 or 12.
Yeah. Here we go. We'll be back. Maybe. Could be. With the goat.
What are you writing, darling?
My diary.
Good. Are you going to be the Anglo-Saxon chronicler of our age?
Not likely. But we've got to keep a record of what we do and how we do it. Otherwise, we won't learn from our mistakes. And my goodness, we're going to make some.
Depressed.
Oh, not really, but I've been trying to read up a bit about farming and animal management. The trouble is none of the writers seem to think anyone can be as ignorant as I am. They all start halfway through.
I know. It's the same with cooking and gardening. Still, I suppose we'll learn. How much ground are you going to fence off?
Well, about 100 acres, with an inner fence to keep us out of stinging range of the triffids.
Oh, that's going to take you a bit of time.
Time is what we have a great deal of. All the time in the world. September the 24th. We've now completed the fences and all triffids are now outside where they can stay. This means that Susan can now spend more time on farm work rather than in destroying triffids. We've harvested 20 sacks of corn, which we've winnowed in a rather primitive manner. I must now find out how to grind flour, perhaps a windmill. I saw a covey of partridges today flying over the stubble, but had no gun.
The 12th of December. I am writing this because Bill was injured while trying to catch a horse. He's not badly hurt, but it will be several days before he is up and about. It's a nasty reminder of what might happen if one of us became seriously ill. We live on the edge of disaster, but I must say I feel very well, in spite of my ever-increasing size. Food stocks are as follows.
The 2nd of March. At 2 o'clock this morning, I delivered Josella's baby. She was wonderfully brave. None of the books were any good at all, but luckily it seemed fairly obvious what was supposed to happen at each stage. We called him David, and he weighs 6.5 pounds on the kitchen scales. Dennis and I leave for Brighton in the morning. We need nappies, a flamethrower, and sweets for Susan.
Feels like a good road.
It is.
You remember it. Through the downs, straight into Brighton. And we just passed the town of Lewis.
Today's a Saturday, isn't it, John?
I think so.
Think of the traffic there'd have been a year ago.
My goodness, yes. Now not a thing in sight. Hello? Yes, there is.
What's wrong?
About 50 yards ahead, there's a roadblock. Somebody's painted Keep Out in large letters right across it.
They've no right to do that. Are they firing at us?
Yes. Well, they won't try to hit us, or they'd have succeeded. All the same, we'll take their advice.
Come on. Where shall we go?
London.
She said it wasn't safe.
Safer than here. Well, we've got to get Susan's sweets.
Gramophone was a find. It's going to make all the difference to them.
Do you think they're very unhappy?
Well, Mary and Joyce are all right. They can keep themselves busy in the house. Dennis chafes a bit.
Yeah. He'll be better now. He's learnt quite a bit of Braille already. He's bought like a stack of books.
Oh, he's not the type to spend his time reading when everyone else is working.
Well, that'll be his work. I want him to read all the medieval stuff. I want to know exactly what villages did in the days when they were closed communities. What they use for soap and sugar, buttons, needles. Cough mixture.
Are we really going back to that?
If we can't, darling, it's going to be a poor lookout.
Yeah. Well, it all seems so hopeless. Work and work and struggle and starve.
Oh, no, darling, don't cry. It'll be all right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Self-pity. It must be the dinner.
And the music.
After all, we've survived a year, and we're better off than we were when we started.
Better off by day than at any rate.
Oh, and thousands of things. There's the mill and the animals, and well, the garden's really beginning to get organized.
Mm-hmm.
Bill.
Yeah?
We really are lucky.
Yes, we are. As long as we stay together, I don't see how things can help getting better.
For breakfast, and there's no more tea or coffee.
Oh, beer.
Jolly good, Sheriff.
You, my girl, will go on drinking milk.
With. How will we make the beer?
Brew it from barley.
What's the lower field looking like now, Bill?
Pretty healthy. Oh. I've been thinking of pushing out the fence to extend it. And by the way, who said there were more Triffids about?
Me.
You are right, Susan. I've never seen so many.
What are they doing?
Just rooted there, being Triffids. But more every day.
I wonder why.
Why? Do you think there's a special reason?
Mm. Of course there is. He brings them.
What? Oh, no point.
Well, why should I bring them? Do you think I whistle to them in my sleep?
No. But you make most of the noises around the place, sawing and hammering, and they hear you.
Oh, well, nonsense, Susan. They're plants. They can't hear.
Look, Uncle Bill.
Well?
Do you see that Triffid crossing the field across the valley?
Yes.
Fire
your revolver
out of the window.
What?
Just
throw
it in the air.
All right. Anything to advise the young.
Now, tell them what you see.
Well, the Triffid stopped moving.
Mm-hmm.
It's swiveling on its roots.
What?
It's coming this way.
But, and it'll come on for about 10 minutes, then it will stop and listen. If it can hear the others by the fence clattering, it will keep coming on. But if it can't, it will turn off and go wherever it was going.
You've been watching them very closely.
I always watch them. I hate them.
She's right, you know, Bill.
Oh, look, they're plants. They can't hear. They do something so damn like it that only a biologist could tell the difference. Don't you remember how they broke loose and began crowding round the house the moment we all went blind?
Yes.
Yes, they often did that in tropical countries. But not here. Here they were under control, and they never even tried to make trouble until things went wrong. But then they took advantage of it at once. Why?
I can remember them breaking out of their enclosures before.
But not altogether.
Bill.
What?
How do they break out? You told me once.
Well, they just crowd up against the portion of the fence until the pressure breaks it down.
Their fence? Or ours?
July the 1st, at last we found what we were looking for, an RAOC depot containing flamethrowers and fuel. I brought back 4 today, and with Josella's help, we destroyed about 500 chickens. August the 10th, busy harvesting. I've learned how to make a horseshoe, which the horse apparently considers wearable. Notes, opposite. We set fire to several hundred Triffids on the northern wire in an early morning drive.
Doing the diary because W. Mason Esquire and D. Brent Esquire have gone to London to fetch sulfuric acid from a chemical works in Romford and will not be back tonight. We are getting short of fuel for the flamethrowers and are going to try something else. It is October the 17th and my 11th birthday. Mary gave me a rush evening.
Where are we? Top end of Leicester Square.
Hold tight! What is it?
What's happening?
I've got to go flat out.
You must hold on there. What is
this? What was it? A sign that we can't come here anymore. Farnham House crashed into the street behind us.
The vibration of the truck, I suppose.
Yes, and it'll happen again if we're not careful.
This is our last visit to Piccadilly. So what does it look like now?
Better.
Huh.
As though it belonged to another race. Nothing to do with us. There's a sycamore growing out of a shop window. All the pavements are covered with green moss. Oh. You can't see the fountain for willow herb and rocket.
Oh, great.
Let's leave it to the historians, Dennis, and go home.
Looking time already. Luddite. What time did you get back?
About midnight.
Did you get the stuff?
Mm-hmm. Most of it. Hello?
Tony, miss. I'm going down to start milking.
Oh, how does she do it?
I'll be with you in a moment. Do you know that before I married a farmer, I never got up before 9 o'clock?
I used to stay in bed all morning before I married a farmer's wife.
Susan!
What's the matter?
Susan! Susan, what is it? What's the matter?
Oh, I can see!
Oh,
darling, of course you can see. Phil? You're all right.
Phil, why is it dark downstairs?
Are the curtains drawn?
Yes, Mary, I drew them back before we went to bed. Phil, what is it?
I'll go and look.
Darling. Bill?
You can come down, Joe.
Stay here, everyone.
I'm coming, too.
Oh, all right, come on.
Look at the wind!
Leave. Broken through the fence during the night.
They must want us very badly.
Fifth episode of Giles Cooper's dramatization of The Day of the Triffids by John Wyndham. Listen to the next episode of John Powell's production of The Day of the Triffids, Strategic Withdrawal.
That's right. That's the end of part 5 of 6 or part 10 of 12 or...
Yeah.
Part 2 of part 3.
Or something
three.
Like that. Yeah.
Part 3 of part 2. I don't know. A lot of fun.
Eerie house math at work. No calculators needed.
None at all. And they said there wouldn't be math. Seems like they're backed into a corner. The Triffids are getting aggressive.
I think it's interesting they wanted to go back to study about basically back in the King Arthur days to figure out how they survived in order to figure out how they might have to survive. I thought that was interesting.
Interesting parallel, Dave. The Walking Dead story circle explores exactly that. They went into a very medieval lifestyle trying to come back from these zombie horde and stuff like that. Because sooner or later, all the gasoline, all the electricity, all the natural gas, that's going to run out. It's not going to be available.
Yeah.
You know, when you're getting into post-apocalyptic stuff, Stephen King was a good, thought of some good practical things that might happen. I think it was The Stand. There were a lot of homes exploded because of natural gas being unattended.
Yeah.
Can see that happen. I can see that happening, you know? It's things to think about, so get ready for the apocalypse. And only the correct things blow up, like zombies.
Yep. Where we will have old radio programs still, because there will always be Eerie House Radio out there, as long as there's an internet.
Yes. That is for true. As Justin Wilson used to say, that is for true. Because we want to keep this stuff coming at you. And just so there's not too much crossover, you have a little choice in life between wrapping it up here or catching the very beginning of Gar the Ghoul's Horrible Horror, which starts at 8. Let's get into part 6 of 6, or 11 of 12, Day of Them Triffids.
Starring the goat.
From London, we present The Day of the Triffids. John Wyndham's famous science fiction story, dramatized by Giles Cooper.
Look at the window.
Please.
Pretty, please.
It's broken through the fence during the night.
They're all around the house.
They must want us very badly.
The Day of the Triffids, Episode 6, Strategic Withdrawal.
I'll have to get through there to get a flamethrower from the garage.
Yes. Here's your mask.
Thanks, darling.
Gauntlet?
Yeah.
Here.
No, no, keep everyone upstairs and shut the windows.
That's right.
Okay?
Yes.
Go on, Susan.
Here goes, then.
The 20th. We've now been here for 4 years. There was a Triffid breakthrough this morning, the first since January, when we began spraying the perimeter with an arsenical solution. Either they've adapted themselves, or the recent heavy rain has diluted it. Dennis suggests we should electrify the fence at certain periods to stop them pressing up against it. We now have 5 beehives, and are hoping to make some mead for the winter evenings.
Ah, good. Thank you, darling.
All right.
Here are the logs, Joyce. Can you manage?
Yes.
All right, I've got them. Help us, Susan.
Okay.
Sit down, Bill. I'll bring you something to drink.
Thanks, John. You didn't run the generator for long this evening, Bill.
Long enough. They all cleared off.
They don't go as far now as they used to. They know that when it's not working, they're safe.
Mm. Perhaps we ought to run it more often.
Yeah? What on?
You short of petrol?
Yes.
There used to be a place over by Henfield. Have you tried there?
Not yet, Dennis, no.
It was only an idea.
You don't seem to realize that soon there won't be any petrol to run the generator.
Here you are.
Thanks, darling.
I've been thinking about that. It should be possible to build a stockade of telegraph poles strong enough to keep anything out.
Yes, possible for who?
Yeah, if you could get hold of a light crane, it would help.
Yes, if I had 10 arms, it would help even more.
Yeah.
I'd get fed up with everybody having brilliant ideas which only need me to sweat my guts out to put them into practice. Just now and again, I like to sit back and think for a change.
Yes, I think that's a good idea.
What?
A change.
How do you mean?
Well, tomorrow we'll take the small truck and have a picnic by the sea.
Oh, look, I've got 1,000 things to do tomorrow.
Nothing more important than this. Susan can look after everything perfectly well.
Yes, of course I can.
You see?
All right.
And there's so many more birds.
And the sea must be full of fish. Nobody fishes anymore.
God, the South Coast in August. Think of it.
I think I prefer it like this.
I'm sorry about Dennis.
Yes. But he understood.
What, the worker's resentment of the intellectual?
More or less.
I never realized it was so easy to slip into. Too much hard work makes one stupid.
Stupid? Oh, we all depend on you.
And you, darling.
Here we are, lying in the sun. We might be a lot worse off.
Yeah. You know, the last 5 years have been the happiest in my life.
What's that?
You're not.
No, listen.
It's a plane. But it can't be.
Wait. Hmm? There it is. Look, there.
A helicopter.
Hi.
It weighs something at all.
Yes.
Quick.
Hey! Oh. Hey!
Hello!
Hello!
It was silly shouting, really. Couldn't have heard.
He's gone inland.
Where can he have come from?
I don't know. He seemed to be flying along the coast.
It may be someone from a family group like ours.
If they can service and fly a helicopter, and after all these years, they must be fairly well organized.
It's no good assuming they would have helped us, even if they had seen us.
Yeah, but all the same, I mean, they might have put down here for a minute.
No, darling, I know.
Come on, let's pack up and start flying.
Nearly home, darling.
Yes. Bill, look, the farm.
What's the matter?
There's a huge cloud of smoke.
God, the place is on fire.
And only Susan's there to fight it.
I told you we shouldn't have gone.
Hurry, hurry.
Wood pile. Why should the wood pile be on fire?
Oh, but Susan, what's happened?
Help!
Helicopter.
Yes.
Oh.
And it's the wood pile with a flamethrower as a signal.
Good girl.
Where's the pilot?
Here he is.
Hello. Mr. and Mrs. Mason, I presume.
Oh.
That's nice. Your name's... Ivan something.
Yes, Ivan Simpson.
Oh, yes, of course. The university. You brought in a helicopter that first day.
Yes, that's right.
Are you still with Michael Beadley's lot?
Yes, I've been telling your friends about it.
Oh, great. Let's go in and celebrate while you tell us, too.
Great. Look at it. Thank you, James, for the old meat.
It'll be marvelous.
It's years since I've had some of it. Ah, thank you.
Thank you, darling.
Oh, go on. Well, first of all, Michael told me that I was to be sure to start off with his apologies.
What, to me?
Well, you were the only one who saw any danger in the Triffids, and he didn't believe you.
Oh, yeah. Look, how did you get over here?
Oh, we found out the rough location a few days ago from a man called Coker.
Coker? Oh. I thought he died from the plague at Tynesham.
No.
Well, he got away with two survivors.
Thank you.
They'd been down in Cornwall.
And you?
Yes.
Where did you go?
To the Isle of Wight.
Is that where you've come from today?
Yes, we
wiped out all the Triffids on the island.
Good shot.
Took a bit of time, of course, but the whole island's clear now, except for seeds blown over from the mainland. And we deal with those each spring. We're about 300 strong now, with our headquarters in a country house near Godshill.
It sounds a pretty busy life.
Yes. There's plenty of room for helpers. You could be very useful.
Oh, I've learned to do a good many things in the last few years.
No, I don't mean farming. No, that's all looked after. Hmm? But you're a biochemist, aren't you?
Well, a biologist with a little biochemistry.
Too fine a distinction for me. No, the point is that Michael's tried to get some research going into a method of knocking off Triffids scientifically.
What, a selective killer?
Oh, something like that. And if we're ever going to extend, we've got to find one.
That's right.
Trouble is that the only people to work on it are a few who've forgotten even the biology they learnt at school. So what about it?
Hmm?
Would you like to turn professor?
Bill. You know, there's nothing I'd like better.
Look, does this mean that you're inviting us all to your island haven? On mutual approval.
What does that mean?
Look, the best thing is for you to come along and find out for yourselves how it all works.
Fair enough.
Bill, where are you?
Out here.
Oh. What are you doing?
Looking at the view. It's a lovely evening.
You've escaped quite an argument.
Yeah?
They've been hard at it ever since Ivan left.
What have they decided?
They'll come, but they don't want to.
Oh, surely they can see.
No, Bill, they can't. Quite literally, I mean. They can't see the Triffids in a thick hedge all round. Beyond that, the country's sinking back to marsh and forest.
No.
They still think of a tidy countryside with farms and lanes and fields and cottages. Besides, they know their way around the house. Must be awful having to move when you're blind.
Yes. Well, it's our home, too.
I know. Well, perhaps we could stay here a year or two longer. What do you think?
No, no. No point. And think of the children.
Mm. That's what made the others decide to leave.
You know, all the time I've been haunted by something Coker said years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The first generation peasants. The next savages. That's what'll happen unless we admit defeat and go.
Well, not defeat, exactly.
Well, all right, all right. Strategic withdrawal.
Yes.
How soon?
Well, let's see the summer out. Hmm? We can live off stores and have a sort of holiday.
Right. Then in September, we'll pack up, we'll drive down to Portsmouth, we'll flash a signal to the island and wait for a boat to pick us up.
You know, the last few years haven't been very easy. But I know I shall cry when we have to leave here.
Darling.
That's 20 sacks.
1 ton. Put up the tailboard.
Right. I'm sorry about this.
Why?
Well, if I hadn't burnt the wood pile yesterday, you wouldn't have had to come and get coasting.
Well, it's all in a good cause. Anyway, I shan't have to do it again.
No. Shall I like it in the Isle of Wight?
Oh, you'll love it.
Joe said I'd be going to school.
I hope so.
But I know everything now. I can milk and drive a tractor and harness a horse and shoot Triffids.
There are other things worth learning, Susan.
Oh, all right. If you say so. But I won't have to leave you, will I?
Oh, of course not, darling. You'll always stay with us. Now, come on. Let's get home and start our holiday.
Yes.
Looks like the holiday's already started as we're vastly, rapidly approaching the end. The end of Day of the Triffids.
Yes, and for those of you who stick with us, we will finish this out. For those of you who are head off to Gars, hey, tune in to catch the rest of the show over in the archives, or archives as some people have mispronounced it.
Archives. I like that.
The archives, yeah.
The archives. We got big one. Big
yeah,
one.
Big archives. Yeah.
7 years worth.
That's a lot of archives, man. A lot of archives.
So the rule is, if you happen to miss any one of our shows, you have to go back to the beginning and start and catch up.
Yep.
It only take you a couple years.
Yep. And you'll find some that you didn't know were there, and you find some that you forgot about. And by the time you catch up, you'll have no idea what day it is. So
that's right. Just like us.
We have no idea what day it is.
Yeah. We'd ask you to emulate and be just like us, but I doubt that you could afford the lobotomy. So let's wrap up Day of the Triffids, part 12 of 12, or 6 of 6, or 3 of 3 for tonight. Part 2, part 12, part 6, Day of the Triffids.
I'm waiting.
Alice, when we get there.
Yes, put your mask on.
It'll be marvelous never having to wear these things when we get to the Isle of Wight, won't it?
Yes.
Look!
What's that?
We've got more visitors.
So we have.
What a funny car. What on earth is it? The top part looks like a sort of caravan.
No doubt about the bottom part. It's a tank. Well, we'll soon see who owns it.
My husband and Susan, our adopted daughter. Bill, this is a Mr. Torrance. He says he's some kind of an official from Brighton. These other gentlemen are with him.
How do you do, Mr. Mason? A minute, haven't we met before?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, yes, we have, years ago. On the second day of the disaster, you tried to shoot me.
Oh, did I? Those were bad days. Shoot first and ask question afterwards, there.
As times have improved, perhaps your friends would like to park their Sten guns outside.
They're all right here.
It's a man's best friend, you know, as they used to say in the army. The boys get attached to them.
Check, boys.
Check.
Why did you want to see me?
Do you mind if I sit down?
No.
I understand you're in charge here.
The place belongs to Mr. Brentler.
But you're the organizer.
Yes.
Good. I'm Commander Southeast Region.
What the hell is that?
It means that I'm the Chief Executive Officer of the Emergency Council for Southeast Britain.
Never heard of it.
That's not surprising. We didn't know about you. We saw your fire yesterday.
Well, now that you do know, what about it?
When a group like yours is discovered, it's my job to investigate and assess it.
Assess it? Why?
In case adjustments have to be made. Take and take it, I'm here officially.
On behalf of an official council?
What else?
Or a self-elected one?
Well, it has to be law and order. Well, here's my warrant, if you'd like to see it.
I'm blind.
I know. Right, Mr. Mason. This is a well-found place you have here.
That Mr. Brent has here.
Mr. Brent's only here because you made it possible for him to stay.
Yes, but it's his property.
It was.
Meaning what?
The state of society which gave sanction to his ownership no longer exists. All titles to property have ceased to be valid. Besides, Mr. Brent is blind and is therefore not competent to hold authority.
So shut your mouth, Blindy, and keep it shut.
All right. Now, your wife says there are 8 of you here. 5 adults, this girl, and 2 small children. All of you are sighted except those 3 there. Check?
Correct.
I'll have to alter that.
What?
It's disproportionate.
It happens to be the way we like it.
Oh, yes, I'm sure it is. But we've got to be realistic these days.
I don't quite see what we have to be realistic about.
Oh, I'll put you in the picture. Regional HQ, as you know, is in Brighton.
Oh, yes, yes. We paid you a visit once and got a shot across our bows.
Oh. I dare say. We've had to discourage outsiders because of supplies. We've been living on the stocks we found there, plus what we've run in from other times. But all that's falling out now. Raids are getting too bad. Petrol's running low. So we're beginning to disperse and live off the land.
Or, in other words, having used up all your own supplies, you're starting to pinch other people.
Now, shut up, Denny.
Well, bare-faced robbery. There's no authority over
us. Shut up.
Let me in. Now, tell me your plan, Mr. Torrance.
Certainly. I've got a good place here, fully capable of supporting 2 units.
A unit being what?
1 sighted person to 10 blind plus any children. We shall allocate you a further 17 blind persons, making 20 with the 3 you already have, and of course children.
Oh, 20 people can't live off this land. It's impossible.
It can be done. Of course, you'll command the double unit.
Supposing I don't want to?
Well, then we put someone else in.
We can't afford waste in these times.
All the same, I still say the land can't do it.
It will. Mind you, you'll have to lower your standards. We'll all have to tighten our belts for a few years, but in the end, you get the payoff.
What do you mean?
Well, in 6 or 7 years' time, the children will have grown up a bit, and you'll have labor to expand with. Then you can relax. Just supervise. You'll be the head of a clan that's working for you. You'll have an inheritance to hand on to your sons.
Wait a minute. What you're really offering is a kind of feudal seigniory.
Yes, that's it. It's just the word. And with all the rights, if you know what I mean. It's the only practical way to work under present conditions.
Look, just what's the position of you and your council in all this?
Well, just what the monarch would be in a feudal system. We rule and control the armed forces.
Armed forces?
Well, they're raised as and when necessary by levies on the seigneuries.
I see.
As you call them. In return, you have the right to call on the council if you're attacked or if you have trouble from the workers.
I'd have thought a small police force was all you needed.
Yes, but we've got to think ahead. After all, every country in the world is in the same state.
Well,
one of them's going to be the first to get back on his feet. And that country will dominate all the others. It's our duty to be that country. That's why we need an army.
Oh, no! We've lived through all this agony, and now the man proposes to start a war.
Look, we're getting a bit tired of you. You talk too much for a blindie.
I never said anything about a war. It'll simply be a question of pacifying and administering tribes that have reverted to lawlessness.
Unless they think of it first.
Which is why we've got to be prepared. Is it all clear, Mr. Mason?
Yes, I think so. You expect the three of us here to be responsible for 20 blind people and a number of children?
Two. Not three. Yourself and your wife.
Susan.
Sorry. The allocation is 10 per unit and we can't make exceptions. We shall find work for her at headquarters. So she's old enough to run a unit on her own.
Or with some chap.
Yes, but my wife and I regard her as our own
Sorry.
Daughter.
We've got to stick to regulations.
Yes, of course.
What?
I'm sorry, Susan, but orders are orders.
Besides, you're to all right at HQ. It's in the pavilion.
Of course, we'd expect certain guarantees with regard to her education and so on.
Naturally.
There's a good deal to think about.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it'll be quite a relief in a way not to be entirely on our own.
Yes, sure.
Well, I guess you'd like to see around the place.
Yes.
We're rather proud of our anti-trippet fence. Then we'll have a drink or two on the deal. How's that?
Fine, but we can't stay too late.
Oh, no, of course. Well, I'd better have a wash first. I'm covered with curls. Susan, start showing Mr. Tollins and his friends around the estate.
Me?
Yes.
No, I can't.
Do as I say.
All right. Come on.
Of course. We'll follow you. Come on, chap.
Right.
Have your safe catches on.
All right. I'll join you in a moment.
Yes, of course.
Quiet.
Let them get well away from the door.
We can't do what they suggest.
Oh, of course we can't.
Then why are you agreeing with them?
We're not in a position to give a flat no to a proposition put up by four armed men.
Surely
we
don't have to give them a hearty yes.
For the moment we
must.
Why? Now listen. When they leave tonight, they'll probably try to take Susan with them as a hostage. Now, this is what I want you to do.
Who's got an empty glass, Bill?
Mr. Torrance.
Was it mead or was it...
Give him both.
Oh, I see.
Here you are,
Torrance. There you are. Oh, my God, what's that?
Never you mind. You can't have too much of a good thing, can you?
No.
Sin, I'm not driving tonight.
Cheers.
You know, you're all right. You've got a bit of sense, Bill. Some of these people don't have any.
You know, scumbags we gather down once they tell us to go away.
Truth to you, man.
Remember Lewis is what I mean. They told us to push off, and Lewis had told us.
Yeah. What did you do?
Lined him up against the cow shit and shot the rotten lot.
Yeah, well, you got to be fair.
Well, come on, any more empty glasses?
Yeah, you got to show them where the masters are.
Put another record on, Blaine. Come on,
everyone there. All ready?
Yes, I'll be asleep.
Flat out. Down you come.
The engine closed.
Come on, you brutes.
Now! We're through the gate! Keep well down, don't take any chances!
And we're past the prison.
Yes.
Oh.
What's the matter, Bill?
Why have you gone? Go on, go on!
It's all right. I want to see if they follow us.
Of course they'll follow us.
I don't think so. They're out of the house, climbing into the truck.
Oh, Bill, let's go.
No, wait. They've switched on the headlamps. Hello.
For heaven's sake, let's get away.
Listen.
That's better.
What's happened?
There's 10 pounds of honey in the petrol tank. It'll never stop.
Oh, the truck is swarming in.
Yes.
Oh.
Come on, let's get out of here. How's David?
Hi, Daddy.
And are you crying, Joe?
Crying?
Because we're leaving.
No, I've nothing to cry about. I've got all I want here.
Anyway, someday we'll come back.
We arrived at Portsmouth early in the morning, and by midday we were over here on the island. As you know, after the trial period, we decided to stay. And here we are. Michael Beatley soon had me set up in a makeshift laboratory, and at last I was able to start work on trying to develop a selective chemical killer which will really effectively wipe out the Triffids. And that's about it. Anyway, that's all from me. Giselle?
I've nothing to add, Bill.
Oh, bless you both. That was splendid.
Right.
Bill, you said that you'd go back.
We will, when we've beaten the Triffids.
There must be hundreds of thousands on the mainland by now.
And more every year.
Mm-hmm.
Torrance's seniors have had it already. The other communities won't last long.
So is there any hope at all?
I think so, yes.
Meaning you're really onto something?
We might be in a few years' time.
As long as that?
Oh, yes. There are lots of problems. But we're on the right road, I'm sure of that. And someday we'll go back across the water. Or our children will. Or their children. And the Triffids will have had their day.
That was the final episode of Giles Cooper's dramatization of The Day of the Triffids by John Wyndham. Gary Watson played Bill Mason and Barbara Shelley, Josella, in John Powell's production of The Day of the Triffids. Special sound was by David Kane of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop.
Those are Triffid noises, I guess.
That would spook me, too, those Triffid. If my plants were making that kind of noise, yeah.
I remember they had a distinct noise in the movie, too. Not too different from the noise they used in this radio adaptation. I don't know. Did we learn anything from all of this?
We learned that 6 episodes is a very long time.
That's right. It is. So is 12.
And 12's even more. Yeah.
12's even more.
Because 12 is more than 6.
That's why you don't cut your pizza into 12 pieces. You might not be able to eat it. Just cut it.
You might not be able to finish it. Yeah, it always reminds me whenever I hear the number is bigger than another. I always think of that scene in A League of Their Own. When he's going around recruiting gals and they're on the dairy and says, well, we're here to offer you $12 a week for playing ball. And she goes, well, we only get 11 here at the dairy. And he says, well, that would be more then. John Lovitz. A lot of his stuff I think is over the top, but I don't always appreciate his humor. I loved his role in that movie. It was just absolutely hilarious.
When he's cast as a jerk, it's always good, too.
Yes.
When his character is a jerk, it just seems to fit him.
And Rosie O'Donnell had the perfect role in that movie. She didn't get to talk.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
That's nasty. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Who are we to judge?
That's right.
But it is them. And it's true. Does it hurt? Then it must be true. So it looks like there's some hope for humanity going forward with the end of the Triffids. It's a whole new world, which is what sci-fi is all about, I think.
I think that it is. And so much in the 50s, and this is just still another one, was all about these end-of-the-world scenarios. Science fiction, which made it interesting. I think it really did. Battling back to save the world, from whatever was going to happen. I think that is the stuff that just so much of 1950s science fiction was about, and it was made it so enjoyable. Really did.
Yes, it did. So here's the deal for Halloween week, okay? The Friday preceding will be the beginning of 4 days straight of radio. We are going to have a movie, another drive-in theater, Halloween related, of course. Halloween music night, another one. First time in 3 years we've done an all Halloween music show.
Yeah.
And what else? Just some comedies, I would imagine. We got to yuck it up for the holidays. And, of course, we're going to do some adaptation of War of the Worlds.
Yes, I have selected. There's two different ones out there. I have selected one because of, because of this year, the anniversary of what the original, which would be what, the 80th? Anniversary?
85th. It was a
85th. It's be 85th. So I have picked,
more math, Dave. More math.
I have picked a 50th anniversary edition to share with everybody this year. Then I have yet another one out of San Francisco that we'll share. Have ready for next year.
Yeah. See that, Dave's play. You should see the scheduling. He's got shows lumped together. We could just drag and drop, but we try to keep things. We leave holes in there. We don't like to schedule anything in stone too far ahead to make and allow for a great guest like David Julian Stone, Tim errands like Mark Dowidziak, like, oh yeah. My gosh, Dave, help me on this. Mike Wachowski's been here.
The guy from Chicago that we had that did his own thing with all of his own voices. I have him as a Facebook friend, and I'm catching up with him all the time. But
Professor
but he was there
Feather's
the guy
been
that,
here. Yeah.
And the guy that did the Johnny Dollar episodes, the original Johnny Dollar episodes, really. And the 2 hours we spent with Shoestring Radio Theater.
Yes. Rock and Roll Casey, who's a
Rock
an occasional contributor, too. In fact, he's written a song that is in honor of the Cleveland Horror House. Do I still have this in the archives here?
I think I did see it. I don't remember what it's called, but yeah.
I don't either. There's so much in here, gang. Plus there's 12 episodes of something. yeah, who knows? I know it's not this.
Monster, sex, and rock and roll.
Yeah, yep, definitely the song.
Just not that one.
Nope.
Well, there it is. Found it. Here we go. And since we piqued your interest, let's play this baby.
One.
Absolutely.
Two, three.
I wanna be a monster movie host, the king of UHF from coast to coast. Every Saturday night you'll see me up on the screen. I wanna make your baby jump, I wanna make your baby scream. I'll be bigger than Gulati, I don't hate to boast. I wanna be a monster movie host. Houlihan the weatherman, McChuck and Little John. Soup's probably got a god filling movie on. The pool's got some boo-boos for that no-good dirty frog. Mushmouth the setty and the pizza-eating dog. Turn blue, stay sick, life it ain't so hard. Everybody stand up and yell Oxnard. Little shop of horrors, house on Haunted Hill. Land knife from outer space, I just can't get my fill. Kingman, that's the one I love the most. I wanna be a monster movie host, the king of UHF from coast to coast. Every Saturday night you'll see me up on the screen. I wanna make your baby jump, I wanna make your baby scream. I'll be bigger than Gulati, I don't need to boast. I wanna be a monster movie host.
Yep.
Make sure that last drop goes down, but you, no doubt about it, he's definitely from our area with all the references to Gulati and Big Chuck and the Ghoul.
Yep, absolutely.
And Superhost.
Yep.
So thank you, Rock and Roll Casey, for letting us play that one. And we got some time, Dave. We probably could sneak in a wheel, too.
Well, why don't we do that? You're closer to it than I am. I'm feeling a little lazy today. Why don't you reach up and grab that wheel?
All right. I finally digested that 3/4-pound hamburger. I think I got some strength today. I'll reach up to the top now that I can actually move and pull that wheel.
Around, around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Hey, did you hear that, Costello? There's $1,000 reward for those men, and you and I can collect it. All we have to do is find those three armed bandits.
Well, that ought to be a cinch, Abbott.
A cinch?
Yeah, I mean, after all, you don't see many bandits with three armed.
Oh, Costello, please.
Boss, I got an uncle that's kind of unusual. He's got 10 toes.
Yeah, you dummy. Everybody has 10 toes.
Yeah, but my uncle's got 9 on one foot and 1 on the other.
All right, look. Look, Costello, this is no time for foolishness. Now, we've got to get busy and organize a manhunt.
Hey,
maybe we should call a posse.
That's a good idea. Because, what'd you say?
Call a posse. Call a posse.
Call a posse?
Yes.
Here, posse.
No.
Here, posse. Come on,
look,
posse.
Look, will you please be quiet? Before we report to the police station,
you got a can
stop
of milk
all
in your
listen.
Pocket?
Will you keep quiet a minute?
Here, posse.
Will you listen to me? Now, listen carefully. Before we report to the police station, we'll stop off and pick up some guns. I'll give you my Colt.
But I don't want your Colt.
You don't want my Colt?
No, I don't want anybody's Colt. I just got over one of my own. My chest still hurts me now.
Oh. No. Look, please. I'm not talking... All right, Lou, look. I'm not talking about a Colt in the chest. I'm talking about a Colt in a holster.
I never had a Colt in a holster. And I think it's wicked of you, Abbott, to want to give it to me.
What do you mean?
You want me to go around sneezing my holster off?
No, Custer. I'm talking about my Colt revolver. You can take my Colt, and I'll take my .45 caliber Mauser.
You're going to take your what?
My Mauser. Didn't you ever see my Mauser?
Yeah, I saw her yesterday with your Fauser. Mauser.
With my Fauser?
With your Fauser, yeah. They were buying Christmas presents for your Browser and Fauser.
Oh. Costello, don't you know anything about guns? Didn't you ever have a Gat?
Well, when I was 5 years old, I had a little one. But you could hardly call it a Gat.
What did you call it?
A Gittin.
A Gittin. Oh, Costello, I've heard enough. I know why you're stalling. You're afraid to go looking for those bandits. You're nothing but a lily-livered coward. You're a wishy-washy, weak-kneed, spineless jellyfish.
Abbott,
eh?
Smile when you say that. Draw back your lips and smile.
Why should I smile?
I like to hear the wind whistle through your teeth.
You know, all this time in the theater, Dave, and we forgot to give people an opportunity to get a snack.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
There you go. There. I feel better about it now.
Okay. Well, and while they're getting their snack, why don't I reach over and throw a wooden nickel into that good old jukebox of ours?
Well, sure. You may drop nickel when ready.
I think I'm just about ready. Yeah. Reaching over and slugging it in.
Well, I was flipping through the pages of Variety the other day, and I found a little number that the disc jockeys around the country say is number one on the request list, and they're the boys who should know. So, with your kind permission, here's the little white cloud that cried. I went strolling down by the river, feeling very sad inside, when all at once I saw in the sky the little white cloud that cried. He told me he was very lonesome. No one cared if he lived or died, and said sometimes the thunder and lightning would make all the red clouds high. He said, have faith in all kinds of weather, for the sun will always shine. Do your best and always remember the dark clouds pass with time. He asked me if I'd tell all the world just how hard all little clouds try. That's why I think I'll always remember the little white cloud that cried. She said, have faith in all kinds of weather, for the sun will always shine. Do your best and always remember the dark clouds pass with time. He asked me if I'd tell all the world just how hard all little clouds try. That's why I think I'll always remember the little white cloud that slides right down and cries.
Take five.
Who listens to radio? That go where you go medium called radio. That's with you every night through the long commuter fight, and in the morning with your toast and mama lady. Oh, who listens to radio? No matter if it's summer, winter, spring or fall. Who listens to radio? Only 150 million. 150 million people.
Oh, Dale!
That's it.
What's happening next week on Erie House Radio?
Def. Lots of it. Def is going to be hanging around Erie House. We've got Chet Cheddar's Tales from the Morgue, Dark Fantasy, and Crisis. And then next Saturday marks the return of CBS Radio Mystery Theater and hopefully CW. We haven't seen her all weekend.
Yep.
Bummer.
Yep.
Hope you're doing well, Miss. Ms. Dove?
Usually she's got that dirty four-letter word work when
yes.
She can't be with us.
Yep. That or Wi-Fi issues. But anyway, it was a blast getting through this theater with you, gang, last night and tonight. Day of the Triffids, a classic sci-fi tale.
Yep.
Very nice radio movie. Nice post-apocalyptic tale to keep you informed. Halloween coming up. That'll be next month. Man, it's only about, 5 weeks away? Yikes.
Yeah,
yikes.
That's it.
Yikes.
Yikes.
Plenty of good radio between then, starting with Death next weekend. Don't forget, you can catch Weirdness, Really Bad Movie where?
Good question. Actually, if you check us out, we have two sites that do put us on their video on demand. That's a fun place to catch us. Even though they're community TV stations, they do the two of both Brunswick and Wadsworth do have a video on demand. That is a nice place to catch us right there.
There you go, and there's tons of other places I've seen Dave's show. There's even
we are a couple
of Roku channels are running your shows.
Yep. I'm trying to think which one was that. The Uncle Pete's Betamax TV. We're on there as well, and
yep.
So always good. lots of fun.
And then of course you can always jump on over to the Twitches and catch Horrible Horror starring Gargoyle. You're probably there already, some of you, and that's okay. We appreciate you hanging around here. We will see you next weekend, Friday, 5:30 Eastern.
Castle light,
there's
no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
And
Can you dig it?
Everything but the door slam. Everything but the door slam.
That's good.
Not too bad of timing.
No, no.
As best we can.
So
yeah, Dave, there's no end in sight. Lots of eerie house coming.
Lots of eerie house coming. Another interesting story that was a three-parter, but can be done in one night, from Carlton Morris Presents. He's the one that did I Love a Mystery, and he did I Love Adventure, and he also was the guy who did both radio and television, One Man's Family. Used that to pretty much keep his friends employed. So there you go.
Yep. And as I'm plotting and scheming, it looks like I did repeat a song from 2020, but only one.
There you go.
Only one. It's not a well-known one, so it won't be an obvious duplicate. Should offer a prize if you can identify which one.
Foggs will get it.
Yeah, there is not much that man has missed, and when he has missed, he's gone back into the archives, at least he tells us, and I know my friend that I work with, Chris, is in there a lot, Jennifer over there, I think she's in Sweden, Daryl Heff's often visiting our archives. Man, we are lucky to have this family, I'll tell you.
We are. The Eerie's House family may be dysfunctional, but we put the fun in dysfunctional.
They stick around in spite of me. I appreciate that. I have no idea why, but we have fun here. And Dave, I am not sorry that I don't listen to the shows ahead of time. It is such a wonderful surprise, some of these. I know you really got me good these last few weeks too. We had
we had that ones. The ones that was like, what was the ones that you? Let me look here. Cave-ins. The cave-ins got you really good.
Yeah. That was a good one. Yep. The Deadly Hour.
Yeah, and that Cloud Nine episode where all the fictional radio detectives were at. Yeah.
That was the most fun. That was a treat. And the smile was a creepy story. Creepy, creepy story.
It was. That was creepy. Very unusual. Which one? Is that another, what's her name? Elspeth Eric story, wasn't it? I would think it was an Elspeth Eric story.
I think it was. Yeah. She's quite the writer. We've had a few of her tales on here, and every one has been a treat so far.
Yep.
Look ahead.
Wonderful stories, and on top of that, wonderful. So you can have a wonderful story, but if you don't know how to tell that story, it all goes for naught. Where, you know, when you have High Brown, who knows better how to tell a story than High Brown, and not literally hundreds and hundreds of stories he did before the Mystery Theater, then he did almost 1,400 of the Mystery Theaters. So,
Yep.
I mean, so many shows that he created and produced and many times even directed and such. Just amazing.
Obviously, he loved what he was doing.
Yeah.
It's like you, Dave. You know, you're not doing it if you're not enjoying it.
Yeah.
So you must be having a blast.
I am so much enjoying sharing. Like I told you, when we first started, I really hadn't been paying as much. I mean, I listened to them, but that's as much as I did with the old radio programs because, you know, I just didn't think that anybody really cared about them.
Well, and, I do now because I do now very much so because it's just another great source of entertainment. Again, and no knock on horror hosts at all. Believe me, no knock. But we're running the same movies over and over and with a few exceptions, and some will stretch the bounds of public domain or perhaps get the rights to do films that others can't and stay out of trouble. But there's an endless supply of this stuff. Literally an endless supply. If we did nothing but CBS Radio Mystery Theater, I don't think we would have been through all of them quite yet.
No, we would not have. No. Although, we have shared. I just kind of updated that just now.
Maybe we would have.
We have. Well, but we wouldn't because we'd only get one of those in a night, you know.
Good point.
But we did. Okay. But as a total of all the shows, we in between the Mystery Theaters and the hour-long shows that we did, like the, you know, the Lux Radio Theaters and such, and the half hours, we have shared 1,409 complete shows through the run of Erie House Radio.
Yeah. And actually, at first of all, we started, Erie House itself, I think, started in June or July of 2016, primarily a talk show once a week. And then Erie House Radio was once a week. And then it was Erie House Oldie Timey Radio and Erie House Radio. And that's where we are today because it seems to fit and works well. It gives us plenty of latitude to add guests.
And the schedule allows us to, you know, it says, except for special occasions of birthdays or things like that, it allows us to go in different directions at any time.
Yeah.
You
know, we've structured
with guests,
the scheduling
with guests and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, we have a lot of latitude to, you know, something will come up or even just inspiration by any of us. Hey, I'd like to do this. And Dave and I are like, yeah, we'll work that. We'll make it work.
Yeah.
Between his knowledge of these radio shows and I'm pretty flexible. I'm used to, you know, when you work live in a bar for all these years, you're in front of people and they're going to shout things. Unexpected things are going to happen in the club.
Yeah.
Dave, I remember you saying you were nervous at first of doing this kind of thing, especially when we were doing talk.
Yeah, I was.
Talk is hard to work. God bless those who can do talk well. It's not easy.
Yeah, and you have to know something about your subjects. Oh, my.
Well,
there were times, luckily, you had other people in because I had nothing to contribute on some of the subjects you've had.
Yeah, and often I would pick subjects that I had some knowledge of. And Dave, you were doing more of the research then. Now I kind of have to do some when we have a specific topic because I don't have the knowledge you do of these old-time radio shows.
Well, and the thing is, it has encouraged me to continue to look and read on as well. So I'm, you know, this does afford me the ability to continue to learn about old radio programs. And that's why I have little tidbits that I share that I didn't have to share other times. And why I go into, you know, when we go to Mystery Theater and I look at a writer or I look at an actor or something, it's always cool because I'm doing a little bit of research to find out a little bit more about these people.
And I would bet, Dave, with the body of work being so huge, there's so much old-time radio that you're often, would you say that at times you are relearning things you had forgotten because just there's so much to remember?
Yes. Well, absolutely. You know, because I don't think there's anybody who, I don't consider myself an expert in the field, but there are experts who I think sometimes have to go back and look over their research and say, oh, that, or a new question comes up over something. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, Bob Holland was kind of disappointed. We had a guy who was considered himself a historian. He wrote a book on the Wright brothers, and we did an interview with him. Then, like a year later, he ran into him again at down at Kitty Hawk, and Bob was asking a couple of questions. And just like once he finished his book, he was done with that and on to the next subject, which is okay. But that's not what historians do. Historians, they continue to always learn about whatever they've written, and he was really more of a researcher writer than a historian. even though what he was studying and writing about was historic and telling stories of that, the true stories of that and things like that, but he stopped learning about the Wright brothers. And that just bothered the heck out of Bob, Dr. Bob, that he would do that.
Yeah. I don't know, but I do know that Gargoyle is knocking it out over on the Twitches, and
yeah, we ought to go join them. We ought to go join them.
Probably head on out of there, out of here, so rather. And
why don't we turn off the house lights, turn on the three spotlights, so into the middle one can step the one, the only, Mr. Jimmy Durante.
Good night, good night, good night. It's time to say good night. Good night, good night. What more is this say but good night? Silly day, we've had a few laughs, and it's time for
toodaloo.
Toodles. Sorry, bull, up we the same.
And ink got to go to, yeah.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
She's in Benton Harbor, Michigan. That's where she is today.
Where she belongs.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.
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 The foregoing has made it obvious to me that we've had quite enough for one evening. We shall save the rest until next week when I shall reappear. Until then, good night.
Hello. I'm Mr. Red.